Hi, I'm Nina Porzuki.
And I'm Patrick Cox. This is The World in Words, a podcast about languages and the people who speak them.
First, our funder. The World in Words is made possible in part by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence.
Guess that accent. So, Nina, does your dad speak another language?
He does. He speaks Hebrew.
Ooh. And yeah. Does he still keep it up?
He still can speak Hebrew. He came to the U.S. when he was 12, so he speaks like a 12-year-old Hebrew. That's what he tells me.
Oh, right. And has he ever tried to speak it to you, pass it on to you?
As kids, we used to try and get him to speak it, but I do not speak Hebrew.
So the language...
The language has died, effectively, in the Porzuki family. What about you, Patrick?
Well, the language actually died even before it got to my dad, because it was Irish.
Oh.
And, you know, the British put paid to that many hundreds of years ago. So my dad learned Irish at school. That was part of kind of nation building in Ireland. We did a little podcast thing about that. I talked to him about that. He doesn't remember many words at all. And of course, I know virtually none whatsoever, apart from, you know, the ones that you pick up in an Irish pub.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, I feel like both of our stories are a familiar one, and it's something that happens to a lot of Americans. Julian Castro, for example, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and the former mayor of San Antonio, now touted as a possible running mate for Hillary Clinton. Mm. Well, here he is on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Now, you understand you are of Hispanic origin, but you're second generation. You didn't grow up speaking Spanish.
I did not. You know, I grew up mostly with my mother and my grandmother, and my grandmother would speak Spanish around the home, but I never became fluent at it.
Ah, the American dream, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Not becoming fluent at a language.
In a language. Monolingualism. Yay!
Yeah, and it can be an awful lot worse, you know, where you don't speak it at all.
Well, it turned out Bradley Campbell, a producer in our newsroom, he wondered the same thing.
So Bradley, what's the language we're talking about here?
The language we're talking about is Spanish.
So just like Julian Castro, and it vanished in your family.
Well, I wouldn't say vanished. I'd say that my father killed it.
Oof.
That is pretty dark words, Bradley Campbell.
It's what I think. I mean, you could go kill, you could go suffocate, dismember, behead. Essentially, that language is dead.
When did he murder Spanish
in
your family?
He murdered it, as far as I can guess, about 3 years before I was born. So that was when my sister was born. And that's when, you know, you have a little newborn, you have the choice. Are you going to speak to it in Spanish? Or are you just going to go with the dominant language? And English won out.
But have you and your sister, it's Kate, right?
Yeah, it's Kate.
Have you ever asked him why?
No. We have no idea. We never knew why.
I think I may have questioned him.
Like, what would you say? Like, you came home, you're like, Dad, why are you a bum?
No. I think I asked him why he didn't teach it to us.
My father is from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. He's a native Spanish speaker, no accent. And it's his fluency that drives me crazy. He didn't pass it down to us. As children, he only spoke to us in English. The only fluent thing we can do, if you can even call it that, is this.
Good.
See, it's not. We have some amount of fluency.
We do, right? Right. Yeah. We can roll our R's.
We can roll our R's. Oh, high five!
High five! Nice.
But that's it. Everything else, it's filtered through a thick American accent. Today, our Spanish is pathetic.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Por favor, introduce yourself in español.
Me llama is Kate.
It's embarrassing. And I think it's a major loss. Dad could have given us a key to communicate fluently in two languages. Instead, he installed a lock.
I think he just, at that point in time, just didn't think that it was necessary or beneficial or interesting.
But I wanted to know for sure. What were his reasons? Why let his mother tongue die? It's a scenario that plays out in plenty of families. How did it play out in my own? Whenever you interview your family, unexpected stuff dredges up. And in searching for the answer to this question, my language question, other stuff definitely came up. Like what my dad had to deal with just for speaking Spanish.
I mean, you know that he was called a beaner when he was a kid.
I've never. Are you serious?
I think he was, you know, 6, 7, 8. and some kid called him that, and he didn't know what it meant.
Jesus.
I know. Yeah.
All right, Dad.
Why did you kill Spanish in our family?
I don't know. Define kill.
That was my very first question. All right, let me back up for a sec, because it will help you understand where Spanish in my family began. And that's 1923, the year my grandma, Hortensia Maria, came into the world. For a 92-year-old, grandma plays a pretty mean tango. She's a ball of joy, always has been. At her house, she takes out a scrapbook and she points to a picture. It's of a woman wearing a floral dress and carrying a classical guitar. There's a red rose in her hair. I ask, playfully, who it is.
¿Quién es?
Yo, cuando estaba más joven, tocando la guitarra.
Yep, it was her when she was much younger and playing the guitar. Now, just like my dad, Grandma was born in Honduras, but her parents died young. She wound up in an orphanage, and yet she only really remembers good times.
We pray, we dance, we sing. We were so happy to me. They were my family.
The orphanage got a lot of financial help from a local dentist. He also gave the kids jobs, and Grandma got one as a dental assistant.
That's the way I met your granddad.
The way she met my granddad. It was a love story based on bad teeth. Granddad was American from Colorado. He'd come to work for the Anaconda Copper Mine as an electrician. He and Grandma hit it off. They married and had two boys, my father John and my uncle George. Now, the family moved a lot, going from mining jobs in Honduras to El Salvador to Colombia and Chile. Spanish was a must. Everyone spoke it, including the kids, Dad and his brother. So you'd think as kids they would have talked to each other in Spanish. I mean, that's a language that surrounded them. Not so. I found that kind of odd, and so did Uncle George.
You're bringing up an interesting point. John and I never really sat down and had a conversation in Spanish just between the two of us.
Yeah, if we were in a room by ourselves, we'd speak English.
Dad has no clue why.
I don't know.
But Uncle George thinks it may have been an order from his dad, the electrician from Colorado.
I remember where it became an issue is when Dad brought John and Mom and myself up to Colorado to introduce us to his family, and none of us could communicate in English. So I think he realized then, oops, you know, we better start getting these kids speaking English. So at that point, I believe that's when they kind of laid down the rule where Dad would speak to us in English and Mom in Spanish.
Sounds ideal. 50% English, 50% Spanish. Except pretty soon, English took the lead. The mining company my grandfather worked for was British. They ran the schools, and all the instruction was in English, aluminum and all. All these facts I knew, but then my dad told me a story, and as I heard it, I thought maybe I found the reason why Spanish died in our family.
One time in Colorado, we stopped at a little restaurant in a little town to get some lunch, and we sat down, and then the lady, you could see her start, we were the only ones in there, and she started to come over, and then I said something to Mom in Spanish, and she just stopped and turned around and went back, and then we sat there in like 10 minutes, and the waitress and the cooks were just sitting back by the counters just looking at us. And finally Dad, I think, realized. He goes, okay, let's go.
It's so strange to hear this, because when you see Dad, you see a Caucasian man. So it's crazy to know he had to deal with stuff like this, all due to language. But Dad was quick to stress that this was the only time something like this happened to his family. And then he double stressed. He insisted to me that the experience had zero influence on why he didn't teach me Spanish. In fact, if there is a constant in my family, it's that Spanish is beloved.
It's melodic, it's poetic, it's expressive. It's a deeper beauty of, there's just something about the language that resonates deep down inside.
Uncle George is right. Just listen to Dad speak it.
Quiero que vamos a ir a comer mañana. Podemos llevar a la abuela Claro que sí. Vamos a la margarita.
Gorgeous, right? And that's why it's so damn frustrating. Which gets us back to where we started.
Why did you kill Spanish in our family?
I don't know. Define kill.
Murder and killing. Jesus, Bradley.
It's a language we're talking about, guys. You're the world in words. I thought you'd find that kind of important thing to keep alive. Come on.
So, Bradley, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Dallas, Oregon, and it is a tiny, probably 5,000 to 8,000 people logging town in just in the Coast Range of Oregon. Kind of Coast Range meets the foothills.
So no Spanish speakers at all, apart from inside your family?
I mean, we have a handful of Spanish speakers in our town, and when I say a handful, like, I could probably count all the Spanish speakers growing up on my hand, and, you know, two of them were taken up by my dad and grandma.
So wait a minute, your dad was a teacher though, right? He taught Spanish, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, he did teach Spanish, but that was only toward the very end of his career. So Dallas was almost primarily English speakers, and then when families started to come in, a lot of the migrant workers, they would enter into the Dallas Public School Districts, and because my dad spoke Spanish, he would get all of those kids in his classroom.
Wow, so he ended up speaking a lot more Spanish than initially when you were a little kid.
Yeah, probably, the last couple of years.
To other kids, but not to you.
Yeah, yeah, to
other
kids.
Teaching other kids Spanish and not yourself.
Exactly, oh. Exactly.
Well, let's get back to the story and that question that you asked to your dad.
Getting Dad to give me a satisfying answer took close to 2 hours. And if I can break down his reasons, they went like this, in ascending order of importance. His wife, my mom, doesn't speak Spanish. In the 1980s, it wasn't a big thing to teach kids language early. Dad honestly thought we could just pick it up in high school and be fine. But the biggest reason, and the one that changed the way I look at him, is honestly the one I'm still trying to grasp. Dad doesn't feel like he's fluent. In fact, by the time he had his kids, Spanish was far away in his past.
By that time, remember, you know, like last time I'd had been around Spanish was 8th grade when I moved away from Chile. So it's really, I think it stopped at 8th grade. So that my Spanish is really, it's really true. If you don't use it, you definitely lose it.
So the choice to pass down a half-assed language wasn't something he wanted or felt comfortable doing. And even the couple times he tried, I was
annoyed. Because I remember a few times I tried to explain words, and it was like, you just were not interested. And I'm sure as a kid you're thinking, what, I don't need this. What, you know, nobody in my sphere of living uses it, except grandma.
But grandma speaks English, so I just went with that. Dad could only imagine one scenario where he might have felt comfortable enough to do it.
I think probably if both my parents were Honduran, and, you know, I came to the United States in my 20s or afterwards, then I bet I'd probably have been easier to speak in Spanish.
The only time Dad really uses his Spanish now is with Grandma. And remember the part about her being an orphan? Well, that means he has no other Spanish-speaking relatives, ones that he knows. The pool shrinks. The consequence of this is that everyone in my family, Dad, Uncle George, and even Grandma, are forgetting the language and speaking Spanglish.
She'll ask, can you parquear the car nearby? And I'll go parquear. And the Spanish is estacionar. I think a lot of people that live here use those words. They're just adopting, you know, kind of the English word for it and giving it a Latin twist, and that's what they use.
So a dog becomes a doguito, a match transforms from a fósforo to a matcha. Soon enough, in every conversation, you drop in Spanglish. Dad wishes he didn't have to create such words. He wishes he could speak more fluent Spanish. And he frames this desire in a story. It starts back when he was in the U.S. military. He met a fellow soldier whose parents were from Mexico, and they quickly hit it off and started talking to each other in Spanish.
We were both bemoaning the fact that we could not carry on a college-level philosophical conversation in Spanish. Our vocabulary was so stunted in Spanish, even though we could carry on a kind of a fluent conversation with each other. And that's that reminds me, then they have the officer come in asking us not to speak Spanish.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he said it would upset some of the other men because they didn't understand what we were talking about. And it was like I rolled my eyes. He was the captain, I was the lieutenant, so I just, yeah, okay, sir.
When he finishes that story, I get mad and then sad. Mad at the captain for being a jerk, but sad for Dad and his frustration at his own lack of fluency. It's like your whole life you think someone is awesome at something, but in reality, they're not all that great. And yet, I still couldn't let it go.
There's this, maybe it's chagrin? No, not even chagrin. It's like a grudge I hold against you.
Well, again, you know, I could teach you, well, I don't know. It's like, you know, perhaps I should have sat down and we had, you know, hired a Spanish tutor, but it was, I don't think, I don't know. A good question. I don't know.
That wasn't a question. It was a statement. I'm holding the grudge against you.
It's just, you know, I can't worry about that. It's, you know.
Something I'll have to deal with myself.
Yeah, you're going to have to, yeah, get yourself an appointment, get a therapist, and work your way through it.
We blame our parents for a lot of our failures in life. Yet in this instance, it was my own damn fault. Sure, Dad didn't teach Spanish to me as a kid, but when I studied it in high school and college, I had an advantage over most of my peers. I could practice my Spanish with a native speaker whenever I wanted. And yet for some reason, I never picked up the phone. My father didn't kill Spanish. I did. Spanish, though, sprang back to life.
Hola.
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 My sister had a baby girl, Eva, and they're already practicing their holas. But my sister, she's still leery of passing down a language she herself has trouble speaking.
Maybe my job isn't to teach Eva Spanish. My job is to help Eva obtain an appreciation for the desire to speak Spanish because of her family history.
My dad, however, he's gung-ho. There are language immersion programs in schools where my sister lives. He's pushing to enroll Eva. I wouldn't say it's a total do-over. He just wants Eva to speak another language. In Spanish would be nice.
I mean, the best time is right now. You know, she's 2 years old. Right now is the best time to really learn it.
So Eva may be our Spanish savior. That's a lot of pressure to put on a two-year-old. But it's not all on her. Because anyone can learn their family language. All you gotta do is try.
Hello?
Hello, abuelita, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, muy bien. ¿Y tú cómo estás?
Muy bien. ¿Vamos a practicar español?
Sí, tenemos que practicar español, sí, sí.
¿R con R?
R con R, cigarro.
R con R cigarro.
R con R barril.
So are you going to continue it, Bradley? Are you going to, I mean, how committed are you?
I really want to think that I can do it. And I went out and I'm getting Rosetta Stone Spanish basic. So I'm going to set myself on like a steady practice. I'm hoping every day, but it'll probably come down to like 3 or 4 times a week. And then I'm definitely calling grandma more often. I mean, heck,
well,
she's 90.
Adorable.
Yeah,
so.
She's 92. You know, you don't know how many more conversations when, you know, people get up to that age. I mean, granted, she'll probably live to like well past 100. So hopefully by that time, I'll be able to speak with her fluently in Spanish.
Bradley, have you ever gone back to Honduras to visit where your dad or to Chile or to any of the places where he lived?
Well, I've never gone back to Honduras. My dad actually went back to Honduras. He got sent down there during the Iran-Contra kind of affair.
Whoa.
Because he was, well, a native speaker with the U.S. military. So he got sent down there, and he told the story of, like, when he would be on base, and they'd have some locals come in, and he'd talk to him in Spanish, and they'd pause, and they'd give him this, like, kind of strange look, like, your name's Campbell, yet you speak my dialect, something's weird about this guy. And then he had to explain to him where he was from. But as for me, I didn't go down to Honduras, but I did visit Chile and I visited my dad's hometown, which is in the middle of the Atacama Desert, which,
wow.
I mean, there are deserts that are dry, and then there's the Atacama, the driest desert on the planet. And, you know, I took bus ride after bus ride after bus ride, and you go up these just switchback hills where the bus actually has to do a three-point turn on some of
them. Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
As you're going up. And then finally you reach this tiny little mining town, and you see a soccer stadium there and just a bunch of little kind of covered in dust homes.
It's still a working mining town.
Still to this day, it's a working mining town. I guess they mine for copper there. And when I was there, it was like the first time cell phones were cheap and available. So I actually, I called my dad when I got down to the bus depot. I'm like, hey, Dad, where's your house? And he was like, wait, what? He was like, I'm in your old mining town. He's like, seriously? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, wait. And he's like, and you can just see his head racing back, you know, close to like, what, 40, 50 years to this little mining town. He's like, oh, do you see where the school is? I'm like, yep. He's like, okay, go toward the mountains on this street. And I start walking toward the mountains. He's like, have you passed the school? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, don't go too far past it because we're on the far end of the school side. So I'm like, okay. So I walk down the street called Randolph. And he was like, yeah, Randolph or Rudolph, something like that. Yeah, take a left.
Well, I had an Anglo name and everything.
Exactly.
That's so wild.
And so I turn the corner and I start walking down the street and my phone is starting to die. And I'm like, oh, geez, I want to find this before my dad is still on the phone. And he's like, are you seeing it? He says, I don't think it was that many houses down. They all kind of look the same. I mean, dead the same. And then I was like, I got it, Dad. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, Granddad loved weeping willows. I remember this as a little kid growing up in Oregon, and outside one of these homes was this gigantic weeping willow.
Wow, a weeping willow
in the desert.
In the desert. And my dad was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I think that was up to my waist when he planted it.
Wow.
So it was a cool little moment.
Bradley Campbell is a radio producer with a big show, the World Public Radio Program. Bradley's posting some snapshots of his family at pri.org/language.
And for our NEH funder credit this week, accent quiz. It's not quite an accent quiz. This week, we want you to guess who is talking, because that will give you a clue as to who we are interviewing for next week's podcast. Very exciting.
Ooh. The podcast has a Facebook page. It's also on Twitter, @LingoPod. Those are both good places to let us know if you guess the name of the person who read that NEH credit.
And don't forget, if you haven't already done so, please write us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to this podcast. And we'll be back again next week. Thanks so much for listening.
The World in Words is made possible in part, not fully, but just in part, by the National Endowment for the Humanities, celebrating 50 years of excellence. Not 49 years of excellence and 1 year of poo, but 50 years of excellence. Well done.
Should we make Patrick practice his R's? Okay, Patrick, let's hear it. R con R.
R. Oh, no, that didn't work. I got stuck at the top of my mouth and then wouldn't come down again.
R con R.
R con R.
Woo, that's good.
SoundWorks
SoundWorks
from PRI.